Good morning. You are listening to News Radio KMAN. It is in focus time here on a Monday. Brandon Peoples, and joined here today by Charles Tabor. He is the executive vice president and provost at Kansas State University. Dr. Tabor, it's good to have you in.
Well, thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here.
And I understand this is your first time on
it
the
is.
KMAN Airwaves.
It is, yes. I came to Manhattan and K-State a little over a year ago, and this is my first opportunity at In Focus or on KMAN.
All right. Well, we welcome you here. It's good to have you. Tell us a little bit more about your background and how you came to K-State.
Sure. So I spent almost the last 30 years before this at Stony Brook University in New York, where I went up the ranks from an assistant professor all the way up to the interim provost there before coming here. And I was really, you know, looking for a university that had the kind of community-based characteristics of K-State. So I was really excited about this opportunity. Very happy to be here.
Great. Well, it's a pleasure to have you here, and an exciting time here for the university. I know there's a lot of change going on, and a lot of change that is happening on your watch.
Absolutely. And so that's actually one of the things that was so exciting to me. There were several major initiatives underway at K-State when I was applying. The president has been very active in trying to change the trajectory of the university on several fronts. We face a number of significant challenges, and it's really great to be at a university that's proactively addressing those challenges.
And yeah, we're going to talk about that here this morning. It's an interesting time here, and this is not just a K-State specific issue. This is happening nationwide, I think. A lot of places are seeing enrollment declines.
That's right. There are a number of broad factors, demographic shifts. So there are nationally, there are fewer high school graduates than there were a few years ago. There's also a lot of concern out there about the affordability of college, and that's affecting enrollments all around the country. So we're not alone, but universities that are taking this really proactive approach are actually increasing in enrollments. The one I came from, I was part of a big initiative there that grew their enrollments and quadrupled their applications over about a five-year period. So I'm pretty optimistic that by being really data-driven, focusing on the things we can affect, that we can really turn this around.
Well, I know the numbers came in back in September, and there was a little bit more of a decline here. Was that anticipated?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. So we started about a year and a half ago, actually before I arrived. They'd already started a strategic enrollment management project. I came in, worked closely with Pat Bosco. The two of us co-chaired that initiative. We had a consulting firm, Huron Consulting, helping us through this. And we really have a great plan, but the plan really goes into effect in fall 2020. And so we had anticipated that in this transitional period that fall 19 would probably be a down class for us.
So with that said here, do you believe that it'll start to turn around next year then, the numbers?
The first year class, I do believe, will be up in the numbers. You know, you can hold me to that because that's my job, to turn it around. It's going to take us longer to turn the whole university around because, you know, this is an aircraft carrier we're turning. There's the previous classes that were all small, relatively speaking, that are continuing on at the university. So it takes time to turn enrollment around at a university, but we should see signs in the entering class next year.
Well, you spoke about one of the key challenges here is the affordability of colleges. Tuition, I know, goes up a lot. And it's a lot more than it was when I was going to school. But how do we address that here at the state level, rising tuition constantly?
Yeah, there are several things that we need to do. I think first we need to work together with the Board of Regents, the other universities, our communities, the business community here, and legislators to really think about how we're funding our universities. There will be a significant ask again this year from the universities to the legislature, and I think it's really important for the legislature to continue that public compact with the universities to help us to make them affordable. We were able to keep tuition flat last year across the region's universities, but that was with increased support from the state. Really, nationally, The affordability issues of public universities has been driven by declines in state support of public universities. So you can see those sort of trend lines crossing where the public support has been declining, and therefore the cost of education is more and more borne by students and their families. And that's what we're seeing. And the end result is it's hard to afford college. People have to take out loans that they probably shouldn't have to take out to get a public education in this country.
And we're seeing the results of that. That's a real problem for a lot of folks, being able to pay those back.
Absolutely, yes. The other part of it, which is what the universities can do, is to be as efficient as we can be, to adopt technology where possible to really drive our overall efficiency up, to offer high-quality programs that students can complete in a reasonable period of time so that they don't have to pay extra tuition for extra time at the university. These are all things we're working on. It's a critical goal of us with our land-grant mission to serve really the accessibility mission. And being accessible means being affordable.
Yeah, absolutely. No, again, talking with Dr. Charles Tabor, he's the Kansas State University Provost, and talking with us here on News Radio KMAN. It looks like we're going to have a phone call here possibly. We'll get to that in just a moment. The strategic plan, how long has it been in place here? I know it says K-State 2025. Has this been like a 10-year plan? What are we talking here?
Yeah, so it was a 15-year plan when it was first adopted, and we're entering the last 5 years of the plan. So we think it's an appropriate moment to take stock, take a look at what sort of progress we've made on it, and refresh where we think we need to refresh. We're not adopting a wholesale new plan, but we're checking course and seeing whether we need any correction of course for the last 5 years.
All right, let's see. We have a caller here. Bob from Manhattan has a question. So we'll take Bob's call here. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
It's more of a comment than question, but you talk about families not having to borrow money and things. I think it's in our culture that we don't know how to save money and budget ourselves so we live below our means so we can save money. If you say you live within your means, denial kind of still creeps in there. And I see so many people that don't know how to save money and they live from paycheck to paycheck. And it's our culture to spend too much on the latest gadget, etc. Our daughter went to college and graduated without any debt. She had to work to pay her rent and that sort of thing. And all her roommates were using their parents' credit cards, which was not a good practice, in my opinion. And we saved in ourselves and helped pay for it. But I just I think it's a cultural thing, too, that should start way back in even primary middle school type of thing. So I'm just making a comment that doesn't seem to be talked about much about saving money and living below our means. That's all, and I'll just listen to your comment. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. I couldn't agree more. The issue of financial planning and understanding what the implications are of decisions like taking out loans for college, it's so important, and we don't provide enough support. I agree with you that it really does need to go down into K-12. At the university, we have a program called PowerCap Financial, which we're looking to expand, which provides financial advice, financial planning advice for our students. We'd also like to start doing that for applicants. So we think that when applicants are applying to our university, they should, number one, be able to understand fully what the full cost of education would be for a given program they want to take at K-State. And number two, what are the financial aid options available to them, including loans, but with, really heads-up advice, really clear advice about what the implications of the decisions are, what their likely earning potential is with a given, given degree, and therefore what they might be able to afford. Because we do not want kids to rack up debt while they're at K-State and then not be able to pay it off.
All right. Thank you for that call. We do have another person who's called in here, and we got Mark from Manhattan has a question. Good morning.
Yes, sir. Welcome to Manhattan. Welcome to the best radio station
in the country.
I have a question, and then I have a comment, if they won't cut me off. What is the enrollment today, and what was it 5 years ago? You may not have a five-year figure, but we all know it's gone down. But what we're looking for, the 2025 deal, it's proof that bigger's not best. Mm. It's happening. We planned that 15 years ago. 2025, how do you know what's going to happen 15 years out? Well, we don't. It didn't happen. That's my comment, question. But I have another comment after you come up with a figure on enrollment.
So we're currently just under 22,000 in terms of headcount. The exact number is 21,719, according to our current census. In fall 2015, we were at our high point, we were at our high point, which was 24,766. So that's about a 3,000 headcount decline in that period. There's a lot of factors to explain that, but those are the numbers.
If I understand you correctly, you say headcount. Now, does the enrollment include Salina?
Yes.
Olathe?
Yes.
And 1 hour of credit on the internet system, on the distance education. Does that count those people too?
So the headcount, the headcount numbers count all heads. So even part-time students would be counted in headcount. There's also full-time equivalent numbers that convert all the part-timers into the equivalent of full-time status. That is, you sort of stack them up and see.
So how many boots on the ground do we have in Manhattan? Actual students are living in Manhattan County?
In Manhattan, the Manhattan total in 2019 right now is, 16,500.
So when we talk about 20,000, and he's outside.
I'm sorry, that's FTE. That's 18,454.
Okay, so we talk about 24,000 down to 20,000. These outside firms that come in here say, wow, I'll get all those kids. Let's put another restaurant. And then pretty soon they figure out they weren't here. Then there goes the restaurant. And in reference to your too high of tuition, if you go back 10, 20 years and see what faculty, staff, and instructors were being paid, it's gone up exponentially. Now, I hope that you people don't price yourself out of a job with high wages. Because the wages go up, the enrollment, tuition goes up, somebody drops off. It's like a business. Business is hard to get, but it's harder to keep. Thank you for doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job. We just need to think ahead, but not 15 years. Have a great day.
Thank you, Mark.
All right. Thank you for the call here. We'll take a break. Come back more with Dr. Tabor after this on News Radio KMAN.